It's Daily Thunder, booming out the truth of Jesus Christ from the Ellerslie campus in Windsor, Colorado. To learn more, go to Ellerslie.com. So this is episode 4 in my series entitled Legendary. It's a series where I am walking through 12 parts of tribute to my father. And the first 3 episodes have been very, very special to me. My father was not a, what we could call a remarkable man on paper, but he was a remarkable man in my life. And I think that's part of the profundity of this particular series, is to recognize that it's not just the people that are dazzling on the world stage that are truly remarkable people. It's oftentimes the people that aren't dazzling on the world stage that are truly living out the truest, most beautiful form of Christianity. But sometimes when we're up close to those lives, we don't see it. You see, I couldn't see my dad's mercy qualities because I was always around them. But if you had grown up in a home that was very stern and legalistic, you would have noticed my dad and said, I wish I had a dad like him. And yet sometimes when you're so close to it, you can't see and appraise its value. And so, you know, as a parent, you sometimes want to send your kid off to some military camp or send them off to Haiti, you know, do something that just shakes them and awakens them to the blessing that they have being your child. I mean, come on. And yet, as a parent, you need to be gracious to recognize that there truly is a slumber of childhood where it's hard. It's like a spiritual mountain to climb for a child to actually see it, to grip and grasp the beauty of what they have been handed. So the subtitle I have for this series is When Remarkable Feats Are Performed by Seemingly Unremarkable People. And if you haven't seen the picture for this, it's a picture, I don't know where it was where it took place, but it makes me look smaller than my dad. I was the exact same height as my dad. It's funny, my brother and I are the exact same height as my dad. We all ended up, you know, I was really hoping I could at least be like a half an inch taller than my brother. But, and my brother always looked like he was going to pass me, but my brother sort of stunted right when he got to my height, and we were both hanging on, trying to hang on barbells to see if we could get the lead, but we all ended up at the same exact height. There's something about a lutie that ends up, you know, at 6'5", you know, which is great. At least it wasn't 5'11¾". That would have been a disaster, right? But that's special to see my dad, because that's sort of the way he is in my life, and I even want to present him in this storyline is, he was bigger than me in so many regards. I have a bigger personality. I have made a lot more noise on this earth than my dad made, but I am who I am because of my dad. And his silent offering unto me of a life well lived, of a life that was sacrificial, a life that was the ultimate cheerleader, a life that got excited about every little small thing I ever did. He was always excited about it, and he thought I was the best. I have so many stories of my dad standing on sidelines, you know, and I was taken out of a game, and I was never taken out of a game. I mean, what's my coach trying to teach me a lesson here or what? But I'm on the sideline, this key game, and my dad is like acting like he's the crowd. And he's like, Paludian! And then he'd walk to a different spot, Paludian! Change his voice a little. I mean, there's no way that my team can win without his son in the game. Paludian! And that's, you know, just a summary of my dad. Put my son in. My son has what you need, what this world needs. Let my son do it. Part 4, lowercase love. Matthew 7, 8 through 11. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This how much more statement about God is, I think, very precious to many of us. That even with the imperfect modeling of my dad, I'm going to see the Heavenly Father. And if my dad can impact me in such a way, how much more is my Heavenly Father deserving of a tribute? Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So that's obviously a little tricky. You know, here I am dedicating this to my father. He's like, wait a minute. Let's go back to Matthew 23:9, what Jesus said. This is a red letter, Eric. Don't call him father. So Winston, you know, he is my father, but he's not the father in my life. And so he's not a capital F father. He's a lowercase f father. And there is a distinction. And that distinction is very, very important for each of us to understand and know, because it's actually what sets us free. To realize that we were created for a father, and we all have a father. But that father of which I speak is not the lowercase, it's the uppercase. And so if your lowercase father fails you, well, guess what? You have an uppercase F father who will fill in all the gaps, who will make up the difference, who will redeem what your lowercase f father was unable to perform. And he is a gap filler. Our Father in heaven is the ultimate redeemer of all things, every challenge we ever face. The importance of distinguishing upper from lowercase. So uppercase fatherhood, his name is God Almighty, Abba Father, Jehovah God. Lowercase father, my earthly daddy. So most of us have a tough time because our earthly daddy is not quite up to the comparison of the heavenly one. That's a lot of pressure to put on us earthly daddies too, because it's like, wow, that's a pretty high standard. And guess what? Every earthly daddy that, you know, would probably hang out here, we really do want to show the perfection of Jesus Christ. We want to do this right. But it's so easy to not do it perfectly. So there's capital F fatherhood, but there's also capital P pastor. In other words, I could call myself a pastor, which is the same word as shepherd, right, in the Bible. And yet, I hope you know the difference between a capital P pastor, God, and a lowercase p pastor, known as like Eric Ludi. It's like, come on, Eric. You're not doing it as perfectly as God would do it. And that has to do with how we are trained as a church. Whenever we capitalize anyone on this earth, it actually messes us up. And so we have to recognize the difference between lowercase and capital. The lowercase is merely there to help show you and to introduce you to the capital. So we have a capital S shepherd. We have a capital B bridegroom. We could say a capital H husband or a capital H hero and a capital L legendary. So I could call my dad legendary, but I need to be watchful and let you guys know. We're talking lowercase L here, because there's a capital L legendary that is in a class by himself. What Jesus Christ did on this earth as a man is so far out of range for any other human to truly match. And yet all of us are still called to. Isn't that a fascinating statement? That even though his life was so utterly perfect, God has given us the grace to actually follow him, empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually give off evidence of that same life, even though it is an imperfect version of it. The lowercase, the placeholder. My dad was a placeholder. I remember when I proposed to Leslie, one of the things I stated to her is that my desire was to be her bridegroom, but I recognize that I'm merely a placeholder until her true bridegroom comes in the clouds and his feet stand upon the Mount of Olives. And that's an important thing for us to recognize. You see, there is an earthly placeholder for the real thing in all of these categories. And a father is no different. My dad was a placeholder. And when I arrived at Jesus Christ and discovered my true father in heaven, it's not that I lose my father and he just disappears. It's just that he decreases. His role is there as a friend of the bridegroom, as a preparer of a path in the wilderness to help me come to the Messiah. And when I come there, well, then that's his chief job. It does not mean he can't still serve and still help me along, but he's brought me where he was supposed to bring me, and that is to Jesus Christ. John 3:28-31. So this is John the Baptist talking, who was a placeholder, who was a friend of the bridegroom. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. When you understand your role as a placeholder, it actually helps too, because I am not responsible to save my children. I'm not responsible to redeem every action they do. However, I can lead them to the one who can. And it does allow me to function in the rightful position as opposed to attempting to be the Messiah when I'm only John the Baptist. John the Baptist can't save, but he can show you the one that can. And that is our role as parents, but it's technically our role in every aspect we have in this life, no matter what descriptor we have. If it's evangelism, you're not the working of the Holy Spirit. You are one who is being led by the Spirit to lead people to the Spirit and to lead them to Christ as the Savior. We can't save anyone, but we still have a job to do. Introducing the first, the one that readies the children for the second. So in and through the Bible, we're going to see that division of first and second. Now, if you hang around Ellerslie, this is a very common thing for us to bring up. I mean, think about the Old Testament and the New. The Old Testament is a foreshadow. It is a schoolmaster. It is a tutor, which is leading us to the second, Christ, the only one who can save. So we have this parallel, this picture all throughout Scripture. But introducing the first, the one that readies the children for the second. So in this context, I'm talking about my father. He is a first, which is preparing my heart to understand my heavenly father. Now, for those of you that didn't necessarily get dealt the easiest first, sometimes that can cloud and hinder your ability to relate to your father in heaven. And that's why the devil wants to meddle in this territory. He knows that this area of parenting is very, very significant in representing and bringing us into that clear relationship with a heavenly father. Galatians 3:24. So I added the parentheses here. Wherefore the law, which I'm putting in parentheses, the first, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, which I put in parentheses, the second. The first cannot save. My dad couldn't save me, but he could lead me to the one who could. So the first cannot save, but it still has a job to do. And it's important that we, in our earthly representation, understand what that job is. So what must the first do? He must lay a clear picture of the law, the standard. So think about what John the Baptist is doing. He represents the law. He's the first. He must supply the vision of what God will in fact do. He must be a schoolmaster that brings the children unto Christ. It's a great enunciation of parenting right there. The verb, you know, it's fascinating. We don't think of father or fathering as a verb very often, you know, but it's a good verb, to father something. Simply put, to supply authoritative order, protection, provision, discipline, and direction to the lives of children, to father them. But fathering is a lot more than that. Lowercase f fatherhood was built to reveal something much bigger. Fathering intends to showcase the revelation of the kingdom of God in his magnificent glory. That's what we're about. Even in our lowercase f status, our job is to reveal something so much bigger than us. Our job is to lead people, whether it's this world out there that's lost or dying, or simply our children or those under our care, into this grand revelation of the kingdom of God and his magnificent glory. Isn't that an amazing thought to think that we've been entrusted with that job description? I mean, it's so far beyond our human capacity to do, which is why he needs us to understand that. It's like, God, I can't do that. He goes, oh, I know, but I can in you and through you. And that is our great privilege. It's meant, this fatherhood is meant to hold a place, supply a window into something much greater. It's meant to showcase, though imperfectly, the perfect fatherhood of heaven. It's meant to labor towards the handoff unto the capital F when he arrives. So when the capital F, the father of fathers, you know, he's the true one, arrives, that is what that's what the lowercase f father is laboring towards. And then it's meant to decrease in font size when the capital F arrives. It's okay. It's okay to recognize that you're not the ultimate solution for this world, for your children, but to recognize that your part is still very grand. My father fathered well. How do I know that? Because I saw Jesus. And you know, you've heard me say, my father was not a dynamic personality. He wasn't on stage speaking to large crowds. He didn't produce things that the world just looked at and goes, that's just amazing. This guy is so talented. And yet my dad was very good at what he was built to do. And it took me a long time to see that, and that's part of what these first three sessions were about. But when I wake up as a child and I begin to see it, wow, what a blessed man I am. You know, my spiritual life has strengthened. I have spent a good deal of my ministry life honoring my father. Now, you would have to go way back in the days to see how I'm going to handle it, but I think it might have been the first episode in this series, I talked about this statement that I made that I wished I could redact. I wish I could take back, and that is that I said to my father that I've never really truly seen a man of God up close. Now, what I meant by that was I've never seen one of these historic characters that goes to another country and turns it on its head and starts a worldwide revival. Where are these men today? But meanwhile, there's my dad hearing that I've never seen truly a man of God up close. Meanwhile, I grew up under the care of one, and I could not see it. And so I wished that I could take that statement back. And it didn't matter what I did from that point forward. I remember I wrote a song to my dad, and it was called What It Means to Be a Man, and I dedicated it to my dad, and I made a statement about what I'd seen in him, which is not altogether different than this. Powerful song. But I still felt like the words, like he felt like I was trying to make up for something. And it really was one of those things I just wish I could somehow erase, but it was there. But you know what it did for me? In all of its badness and its lack of good form, it helped me see my dad after that. It's like, what was I missing? Why was I so dumb as to make such a statement? Because obviously my eyes were not open and I could not see what I had that I would say that. And so when Leslie and I would travel and we would speak with parents, I would talk about my parents. And I would oftentimes use my dad as an illustration. Now, my dad gave me permission to do this. I actually sat down and talked to them. I said, here's what I'd like to share, because I actually talked about the mistakes my dad made and how he changed them and how that changed my life. And if you want to impact your children's life, you want to pull a Win Ludi, guys. And that was my message for years of my life. And I honestly believe this, guys, that my life has been blessed as I have honored my parents, which if you look into the Bible, you're going to find that there's something about that there. That when we honor our parents, it goes well with us. And I would say that one of my secrets in life is that I have chosen to see the virtue in my parents as opposed to their frailties and their weaknesses. And not only has that healed me, but it has actually helped tutor my soul to see the virtues, which are really there. I'm not making these up. This is actually a very real gift of grace that God has given me in my life. My father fathered well. So I'm going to just give you a few things that my dad was, okay, that really stand out to me in retrospect. He was always happy. My dad's dad, who I was around growing up, I remember I wore a hat into his house once. And the statement was, remember how my dad came home from the Alaskan thing and the first thing my granddad said to him was, you're shaving that, shaving the beard, you know, that he'd grown in that time. That was his greeting, right? Well, I walked in after not seeing my granddad for a long time. And the first thing he said is, you take that hat off in my house. Now, I can recognize that was my blunder, okay? Not because you should always know your audience. You should always know where you're going. If I'm going to train you, you're headed into my grandpa's house. Hey, show respect. He doesn't take well to this, the hat thing. He's an older school character. And so, hey, let's take that off before we go in, right? My fault. At the same time, I understand a little more about what my dad was under growing up. It was very heavy upon him. And so my dad was happy. My dad was always laughing. He loved a good joke. In fact, when he was in junior high, he learned all sorts of knock-knock jokes. So it's like he's purposely trying to laugh in life because the world he lived in was heavy. So my dad had all these knock-knock jokes, and hearing from my aunt, it was very irritating because he was always saying, hey, knock-knock. And she's like, I do not want to answer this door, okay? Please do not knock again. And yet my dad was even back then trying to get the laughter going. He didn't want the oppression. He wanted to laugh. And my dad, in memory, what do I think of? I think of him as a man who always laughed. He was always happy. Daddy was always ready for the adventure, eager to play the game, anticipating the next gathering. Oh, if he knew we were coming, he was just, oh, guys, I'm so excited. I should find some of the videos, because we have like some, what would they be, Marco Polo videos that we have of my dad. And he's just always so excited. And you know, there's a certain manner. My kids would recognize it a mile away. And at his memorial, actually it was at my mom's memorial, I played a Marco Polo that they had for this woman that lived in their basement. And I mean, it's just so classic them. They both always sing happy birthday this one way. And my dad's always like, woo, woo, in the background. It's very embarrassing if you're the son. You're like, oh boy. But it's so precious when you're able to take the step back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for a dad that loved to laugh, that loved to make other people laugh, that loved to bring joy, that loved to sing to people, even if he didn't sound very good. So there's the picture I had for the last episode to finish it, right? The Yaman picture. But that's my dad in a nutshell, is always with that big smile on his face. Another quality to my dad is he was always there. You know, these are things that you take for granted at a certain level, but my dad was traveling a lot. And his job demanded that he was always traveling. And yet he would go to great lengths to be there in these critical moments. And he would, of course, say to you that he wasn't there because he felt like he missed a lot. But at the same time, as a son, I didn't fully appreciate the fact of what he had to go through to be on the sideline to see my game, because he's just supposed to be there. He's a dad, right? But not many dads were able to pull off what my dad pulled off. My dad would be at practices. My dad was just present in my life. And so when I think about my growing up and I think about these key moments, I picture my dad there on the sideline. I picture him there. And if you remember those days in your life, he's the only one I actually think about when I'm playing the game, is what my dad is thinking. And it's weird how as a child, you know, like I picture that one child, you know, going down the slide, is like, daddy or mommy, look. And from a young age, a child wants to do their thing for the parents' joy. Isn't that weird? And so that's a big part of my life, is him being there. Daddy was always there in his gold Toyota Tercel. I think he had like 500,000 miles on that crazy thing. His blue pinstripe blue suit, that was nice. Blue, do you guys know that it was blue? And his black wingtip shoes. I mean, he would come straight from work, and he always, you know, he had, if you looked in his closet, he had about 10 of these suits. They all looked the exact same to me, right? He only changed up the tie, you know, on the outside. Suits were different. He'd press them, he'd wear them once and then take them to the cleaners. And he had these black wingtip shoes, had a whole collection of them. And he would always be there and he'd pull up in his gold Tercel, and it would always like flash light as it was pulling down. I'd be like, where's my dad? Where's my dad? There he is. The gold Tercel is here. So I have a picture of a gold Tercel for you guys. This wasn't our gold Tercel, but his looked exactly like this. It is probably the lowest quality edition Toyota that ever existed, but it still had a Toyota motor and it could last forever. And his did, believe me. He was willing to do whatever it took. Do you remember in the first episode I talked about Derek Redmond's dad, willing to go to whatever length to help his son? I still remember this one moment. My dad, the way he did things wasn't demonstrative. But I remember I was sort of a loudmouth when I played soccer. It's terrible to think. But I'd steal the ball from someone and then make a comment, you know, about it. It's just not the wisest thing to do, right? But my teammates loved it. So my teammates were always laughing, but the other team was not laughing. So I had multiple hits on me, if you know what that means. They would come out and they'd send in their big guy to take me out. And this one guy went up for a head ball and he did some kind of karate chop to the back of my head and I went out cold. I was just out immediately. My dad saw it. And so I don't remember anything other than just being out. I was just laying there, right? And all I heard in the midst of all the noise around me was my dad's voice. And it was something like, "You can't do that to my son." When I woke up from that or came to, still remember them asking me who the president of the United States was and what I ate for breakfast that morning. What I ate for breakfast? I was like, "I don't know. Well, who knows that?" That was like my response. But my dad was just calm, acting all normal about it. And it's like I didn't ever get to see that live. It was always in a way that I would catch glimpses of, or someone would come up to me and say, "Your dad was bragging about you." In other words, I didn't get it in a demonstrative fashion, but I knew my dad had my back. He was willing to do whatever it took. And I have so many stories of this that I'm going to get into as we progress through this. But Daddy was willing to get uncomfortable, willing to humble himself, and willing to leave everything he had worked for behind in order to help his kids. And I have a whole bunch of stories, as I'll get into. The love and kisses, I'll cover that in the upcoming episodes. The risky call, the four chairs, the business assistant, all of those. If you reflect back on this episode, I'm going to unpack, because they are very, very special moments that show a very, very special dad who was always there. So there's a picture of me and my dad and Hudson, who was very excited to be in that three-generational picture. He was willing to suffer with those that suffered. And one of my favorite stories happens in front of a Wendy's in, I'm not gonna say what town, but I'll never forget the Wendy's parking lot. And it's a very, very specific moment that I will unpack where he's basically going to say, "Eric, I know you're gonna have to suffer for this. I'm gonna walk through it with you." So there's, as if this helps, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I see what you're talking about now, to have a picture of a Wendy's sign. But it did look exactly like that, by the way. And I still remember it. I still remember my dad's head and the Wendy's sign behind it. So it's sort of hard to replicate and reproduce this. I can't like make a movie so you can, oh, here's the moment, click. And so it's hard to pass along some stories and like bring you into it. That, I don't know if that helped. I had a wonderful dad. And as a result, I know Jesus. So at the end of each of these, I've had pictures that just say it. And so this is picture number 4, being there. And there's a good summation. I still remember the feeling of wrestling with my dad. So this is a picture, for those of you that can't see it on the podcast, this is a picture of my dad wrestling. My head is the one that's like going straight down. That's my brother as a baby, and my sister has her mop of hair in there. And I think those are my legs with blue pants. You know, that's very strange looking pants, but I think those are mine. I had so much fun. It's an amazing thing to wrestle with a dad, because dads have so much more power, so much more strength. They could break you like a twig, and somehow they're able to wrestle with you and not break you, but make you want to do it again. But that's a great picture of my dad and the memories I have with him. Thank you, Daddy. Father, we want to say thank you to you and make sure that we are like that leper that returns tonight and says, thank you. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for the gifts of grace. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for the patience. And thank you for the many blessings we have received in ways that maybe we haven't been fully appreciative of. Not everyone had a father like mine. But Lord, may we see the things that parallel that in our own lives. The gifts, the sacrifices, the blessings, the places where you have shown yourself to us. And may we be purposeful to return to you and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this. Amen.
Daily Thunder is a listener-supported production of Ellerslie Discipleship Training. At Ellerslie, we are laboring to rouse the Church of Jesus Christ out of its lethargy and build brave-hearted Christians for such a time as this. If you'd like to learn more about Ellerslie, our discipleship programs, or support the ministry financially, please go to ellerslie.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.